You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart as we've opened thy love letter, thy word. So deal with us and bring home to us that which you have in mind. And Spirit of God, we're going to thank you as you honor our Lord, honor thy word, and Father, in all of it you'll be pleased. And our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You remember all the nations, and the nations had no interest in God, and God had a wonderful plan, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so, the seed, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, God had a wonderful plan, and he had a wonderful way to pursue that plan in humanity and by humanity. Therefore, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And they all come along because out of them, out of the tribe of Judah, will come our Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's Israel, and Israel has a special, wonderful privilege being exited out of Egypt to Mount Sinai, introduced to Almighty God. And in doing so, everything changed because they certainly could witness Egyptian technique, culture, idolatry. They could not in Egypt honor and did not honor God the Father. And therefore, when they went back, they were to have a change. And they were given a wonderful, wonderful promise, Exodus 19 in that they would be a most special, prized, privileged people above all the people of the earth. Why? So that God could make known and show all of the nations his wonderful person. Now, so therefore, you remember, in their assignment, in their that God gave to them, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and at Mount Sinai, remember Exodus 19, you have to go back there. In Exodus 19, God gave them this wonderful, wonderful assignment and privilege to be the most special nation. And instead of just saying thank you and looking for God to give, in his grace, to give and make it happen, they said, remember verse 8, 19 and 8, all that you say, God, we will do it. Now they can't do it. The gift was a gift. God, what God was doing was wonderful. And man can't help and make it better or even make it happen. So when they got into the land at Mount Sinai, what did they do? Well, they were given the law, and chapter 4, verse 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, and then the three little words, for to do them. Remember what they said, chapter 19, verse 8, all that you say, God, we will do. Now they knew in order to have a gift, you've got to receive it and exercise it. And they were going to be able to do it all by their lonesome. And it had to be. The gift has to be received, has to be exercised. And they refused. They refused to do so. Taking the gift in grace. They were going to earn it, work for it, show their wonderful personality in doing what they could do, which they couldn't do at all. So when we read chapter 4, verse 1, for to do them, the reason you're going to do them is in order that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So it's something you do. Something you do. Now, why is it presented this way? Because they said, all that you say, God, we will do. So God said, do it. You want to do it? Do it. Go do it. And therefore, and if they did it, you remember the nations, verse 7, I'll read verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, not only Syria, but Babylon and the Philistines and Jebusites and all of them. Keep therefore and do them, verse 6, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely the most great and mighty nation, great nation, is a wise and understanding people. So they were to do them. And do, why are you going to do them? So you can live. You can't live in death. You have to have life. You have to move. Living involves activity, involves mental, spiritual, emotional, physical activity. And you have to do it. Otherwise, you're dead. Now, so therefore, having said that, chapter 5, and he's going to say it again all the way through, and Moses called all, verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, reason that, for that you may learn them and keep them and do them. So you got to do it. Life has to be lived. Otherwise, it's death. So therefore, chapter 6, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And what do we know? Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So it's a relationship, living a relationship. God gives the life because of love, and they exercise that life that God gives, and therefore they love. They're able to love. They're able to have life. You can't love if you're not alive. You have to be alive to love. Dead people can't love God. Spiritually dead, you can't do it. It's impossible. God has to, you have to be alive to do it. Therefore, verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. Wonderful. Chapter 5. What do we know? Remember, Deuteronomy is written just before they crossed the Jordan. 40 years have ended. So when we come to chapter 5, looking back, in verse 29, what was their problem? Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would hear, fear me, and keep all my commandments, and always that commandments always that it might be well with them and with their children forever. They had no heart. No heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, but they had no heart. They weren't going to do it. But I'm going to do it. You can't do it. That's why the law demands life, living. But you can't do the law. That's the whole point of giving the law, to see that you don't have it in and of and by yourself. You're unable to produce the rightness, the law, the life. You don't have it. The law says, do it. I can't do it. But they didn't say, I can't do it. That was the problem. They wouldn't confess they couldn't do it. So we move through history all the way down into the New Testament and the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the process of that, and remember now, they had to have life. They had to have a relationship to God, and God requires that. In fact, God is their life, to be the life of a believer. Old Testament or new, anyone. God has to be the life. Now, so in the process of that, in the process of that life, they were not going to have it because they were trusting themselves and not God. So therefore, if you have a, think of having an automobile, a car, and you have a car, and cars are designed, the regular cars, are designed, and they're designed for gasoline. And you could have a most wonderful car. You could have a garage full of wonderful cars lined up. But you know what? If there's no gas, you can't run any of them. Wonderful cars. Humans, wonderful humans potentially, but there's no life. Animals, we did all of this before. Animals what? Animals have instinct. God wonderfully builds it into them. And the spider born and never goes to spider school, he never does any of these things, and he can go and build the same magnificent nest without anyone anywhere helping him. He never has to read a spider book. He can do everything exactly the same way. Instinct. God made you and me without instinct in that sense. God made us for him to be our instinct. Gas for the car. God for the heart. God. We're made in the image and likeness of God for God to be God. Leave God out and we're here, wonderful car, you can wax it and sit in it, but it can't go anywhere. It has to have life. Now, having said that, we're ready, if we can, a little bit. Or if you would, to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John and chapter 8. And you will please note, in John chapter 8, picking up, please, if I may, oh, let's go to see it directly. Now, I'll say it and then we'll look at it. How did the Jewish people in Jerusalem, Judea, and thereabouts, everyone that saw him, how did the Jewish people understand the wonderful babe born in Bethlehem named our Lord Jesus Christ? How did they understand? And for 3 1/3 years, they're going to be there. Now, how did they understand him? He was awesome as a person, no question. No one would be like him. But they missed it. What did they miss? Jesus Christ, who he was. And he told them often, but they weren't in the place to catch it because they were used to what? The law and doing. And God can do whatever and be whatever and have miracles and the Red Sea and all of these things. But then we have to do our part. We have to do it. That's not true. So therefore, we're always counting on ourselves. So chapter 8, verse 58, our Lord Jesus said to them, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I created Abraham. They didn't catch it. They couldn't catch chapter 8, verse 58. They couldn't catch it, who he was. They not only didn't catch who he was God, but they couldn't see that. Not only that, you got to put the rest of it together. Or if you would play chapter 10 on your way, why not? Chapter 10, remember the Jews reacting again, took up stones to stone him. And picking up, please, verse 33. I'll read verse 32. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, What's the problem? But for blasphemy, and blasphemy, what did I say that was so bad? Because that thou madest, being a man, makest thyself God. And we don't understand you. You may be the Messiah, but boy, you can't be God. You can't be God. That's the problem. Okay. Over to chapter 14. So, now do they know the Father? No, they don't know the Father. Hang on. And in chapter 14, remember, Philip is going to say, well, I'm going to give you the context. Verse 6, 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way to get to the Father. And therefore, the question is going to come. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth know him, and you know him and have seen him. And then Philip said to the, representing all of them, saying unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and us will be happy. And then verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? No, you didn't. Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So they haven't done good with who he is. Therefore, they're missing God. They want to know God. Well, you can't know God if you don't realize God standing in front of you in a human form. If you want him, how are you going to know God? Well, they didn't know the Father. And to boot, add chapter 14. And you remember God's wonderful provision, which we're getting to. Verse 17, 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, God the Holy Spirit, you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. They didn't know him either. They don't know God. They got the perfect body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't know God. You don't know the Son. You don't know the Father. You don't know the Spirit of God. You don't know God. What did Israel do back there at the beginning? They didn't know God. They just left Egypt. They knew all kinds of gods, but not God. And here he is at Mount Sinai going to give him all of his, but not Mount Sinai isn't first. It's there giving a wonderful promise. Mount Sinai comes because they don't receive the promise. So therefore, here they are, and here they just Jews, and let alone Gentiles. So we don't know God. Now, what's the problem? Chapter 16. Here they are in the upper room, remember? He's going to be crucified going from the room. And in chapter 16, you remember, he tells them all of these things are going to happen to you. Verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And he tells them all the things which we did. We did all this recently, trying to come back to this. So in all of these things, I'm telling you what, I'm leveling with you. It's wonderful when you go to work for somebody and they level with you about the business that you're going to work for. You're working for the employer. The employer levels with you. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to overcome. This is how much profit we have to make. This is what we're up against. So if you want to come and work for me, you want to understand what I'm up against, so you help me. I don't want you working against me. I want you to working with me, so that when I have to cut your pay, you're willing to do it. When I give you a profit, a bonus, you can take it. You understand you're part of the team. The same in the military. It's nice in the military to sort of know what you're doing. Why do I have to go up to that hill and take the hill? What am I doing at the hill, up the hill? Well, you're going to hit the hill. Go to the top and wave a flag. And I'm going to lose 100 men. Nothing to do. I'd be a lousy general. I said, nothing. I'm not doing it for a hill. I'm going to blow up the hill and then we'll take care of it. We'll all go home, have lunch. Wow. So God, here we are looking out, and here they are looking to do what they do, and they're very, very sad, as you know, as we did it in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whether I go, etc. We did these. Verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, I leveled with you. I leveled how it's going to go. The world's going to hate you. They don't want light. They want darkness. They don't want life. They'd rather be spiritually dead. They turned evil upside down. They call good evil and evil good. And they switched everything, as we said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. All of these things are turned around. So now, having said that, sorrow, verse 6, because I've said these things, sorrow hath filled your heart. And then we shared that, sorrow, grief, anguish. Why? It's the end. They've committed themselves to God, these 11. And it's all over. There's only death or prison. No future. It's ended. Ended. There's no resource. There's nothing left. Wow. That's life. And we call that when you get a breakdown. Breakdown. Burnout. You ever heard of burnout? You get through it. What's burnout? Burnout is you do everything and with energy, and then you have to have extra extra energy, to do extra things. And then your extra energy isn't enough. And then there's burnout, a breakdown, because you have no more. You gave it your best. You even went past your best, but you have no more resource. They have no more resource. They're out. They have none. Breakdown. And we shared that a little bit on Wednesday. You got to have space. You got to have space so when you're done spending your $10 like we did, you've still got 15. You want to have a little cushion for the extra. So when it's all done, you still had stuff, energy you didn't use. I used up all my plans. I tried everything. I used it all. That's right. They're sorrow. They're bankrupt. There's nowhere to go. That is so easy to happen in our littleness and our limitedness. We're little and limited. And we find it out very quickly. The more you live, the more you'll find it out. We're little and limited when we think we got everything. And the whole system you're against now, full of fear, keep it going, what, to play the game? So they can distract you. So all the stuff they do, we aren't thinking about it because there's a G virus. Wow, a variant of the variant. It never ends. It doesn't need to end. As long as I got you caught up in it, then you aren't going to catch what we're doing. Now, hang on. So God, if I was going to be distressed, this is the day of my little history. I've never seen a day like this. No one in our country has ever seen it. Our country has never seen it. In the light of the world and what's happening, it's awesome. We're at a wonderful, wonderful point in history where all of it's moving globally in the outworking of God's will. And therefore, so I would be like the disciples. Sorrow filled my heart. So lots of things to get weak, fail, would get tired, distressed. It's us humans. Now, God, you know about us. I do, said God. Now, what did you do? Chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 16 and verse 7. And so therefore, in chapter 16, remember now, And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, etc. So, when we come to verse 7, what does he do? Now, how does he address they're bankrupt? They have nowhere to go. And as far as their window, do they understand who he is? Nope. Do they understand what they need to? Nope. But they can read the Bible and they could quote it. But they don't understand. So, God, you're so wonderful. Verse 7. Nevertheless, a little conjunction. Nevertheless. The little word nevertheless, but, nevertheless or but. Strong contrast. I know you're burnt out. You're at an end. But. That's the beginning. He says, but. And, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. I can tell you nothing else but the truth. The truth will what? Set you free, Romans 8:32. It'll set you free. I told your fathers, I tell them the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. Hang on just a sec, just so you see that, even though I said it, tried to say it. Over to Romans chapter 8. And you'll see it in verse 40. You know verse 32, I'll read it. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Over to verse 8, chapter 8, and sliding in verse 44, I guess, for context. Because they didn't want to know God. They wanted to go with the side of darkness. Therefore, 44, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. So the system, the world system under the devil has no truth in it. It has reality, science and all of it. But everything we know, science and rockets and everything. Do you know whatever we know, all that we know nothing of all that can be known. When we understand, what is it? I remember the doctor saying it. We just did it the other day. The heart, the doctor telling the interns being trained, he told them, if you think you understand the body, learn right off, you do not. No one understands the body. No one. And then the doctor went through and helped the interns get ready. Because if you think you know something, you better find out you really don't. There's so much to know, so much beyond what you're knowing. Now, having said that, verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You don't want to know the truth. Truth is reality. Wonderful, wonderful reality has set you free. You understand the color chart. Unbelief blinds our eyes so we can't see. When you believe, God gives you the right to see. So when we look at the color chart, we can tell the colors and we can all agree and green is green and yellow is yellow and we can do it. But as long as our eyes are covered and you put the color chart in front, yellow, you call yellow red, and red, black over here. You can do whatever you want because it's in the dark. You can do it. So here they are. And God, what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you the truth. That's what you need. Truth. Reality. Wonderful, wonderful reality. Therefore, for, in the light of that, therefore, because... that, in order that result, truth is expedient. I tell you the truth, for it is expedient, profitable, necessary to bring things together for another person to understand, to profit, to have the benefits of something. to reap the benefits, to come together, profit. It's expedient. It's for your benefit. It's for your good, for your betterment, for your advantage. It is for expedient. What's expedient? Verse 7. It is expedient for you that, and that little word that has to do with the result. What's it going to result? It is expedient for you, and it will make something happen, make something wonderful happen. It is expedient for you that I go away. I need to go away. Remember, they didn't understand he had to go away. Even though he told them, in my Father's house are many abiding places, they didn't even want to, they couldn't catch it. They couldn't see where he was coming from and where he was going and why he was going there. So therefore, in verse 7, expedient for you that I go away. Now, if I don't go away, let's make believe, a third class, it may or may not, the Lord said, okay, what happens if I don't go away? So therefore, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, profitable for you that I go away. For, result, if I do not, N-O-T, do not, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If I don't go away, he won't come. He can't come. He can't come. And no more, you'll be no better off than I am right, you are right now. You're going to be depressed and discouraged, and you'll see no, have no hope and no help. If I don't go away, if I don't go to that cross and rise again, he cannot come. And if he cannot come, I don't go to the cross, you've got nothing. Why? Because God the Father sends the Son sends the Spirit of God. How do we get to God? By way of the Spirit of God. Is what's his assignment? What is God's assignment, Spirit of God? To make known the wonderful, wonderful plan of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, to make known the wonderful truth that God is God. God is the only God and the only Savior, to make it known. So you can understand the reason we're created is because Christ died for us before we were ever born. And we can't be born on planet Earth unless everyone born on planet Earth can get saved. I died for them. That's why I create them. They're born dead in sin because of Adam. But I have made a provision in this being a Savior in Christ Jesus going to the cross. If I don't go to the cross, the Spirit of God, whose assignment is to make it happen, he can't make happen what I don't do. If I don't go and die and make the benefits, life, in place of death, if I don't do that, you don't have any life. You don't have any. So I have to go. If I don't go to the cross, he cannot come. What are you trying to help them? They don't understand who he is. They don't understand the Father. They don't understand the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, they're still dumb. They don't know anything. So you got to go to the cross. You got to go there. And if I don't go, the Spirit of God can't come. Therefore, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I have to go to the cross and to go, and I will send him. Chapter 14. And before, hold your finger right there in 14. I have another thought that will help you. Over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I want you to, you know all these things somewhat. Chapter 11. And I go, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, verse 27, but the Father, no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And he, so to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now take all the rest of it. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How can I know God in his triunity, in his awesomeness? Father, Son, how am I ever going to know you, God? God the Father sent the Son. God the Son came down to die, and God the Son is going to honor the Father. How are we, the Son does something wonderful for us. Now, how are we going to enjoy that which is wonderful for us? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, God the Father, God the Son, God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is honor the Son. You will notice the Son never is honoring himself, as it were. The Son says, all that I do points to the Father. It's in his perfect humanity, he pointed to the Father. The Spirit of God doesn't stand up and say, give me the credit. No, he doesn't. He says he honors the Son, because the only way you can get to the Father, to get to God rightly, is by the Son. So when you go, he looks to God, when the Spirit of God's going to honor the Son. That's what he does. What's he do inside of you? The Son. Why? So the Son can honor the Father in you. Christ in you isn't going to honor you. He's going to honor the Father. That's what God is. He made it possible for you to what? Know God. How am I going to know God? By way of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Their wonderful work. To help what? To bring me, to bring us to God. But in truth, in reality. Now, back over to John 14. And picking up, please. What God's going to do? He's going to do something wonderful. The Spirit of God is going to be an answer. An answer for what? For the ills and aches, for our littleness, for our limitedness. He's going to be the answer so that we never are bankrupt. All the while, humanly, we're bankrupt. And at the same wonderful moment, you're bank rich. Aren't you? And when does the resource of heaven be exhausted? When do you take from God's wonderful holy heaven away where he has no more to give? When, say it another way, when does grace end for you? You're saved by grace, you're kept by grace, we're able to live by grace. God being what? Giving himself grace without works, looking to, for us to honor God. So therefore, having said that, that's what you want. So we aren't going to be bankrupt. No? So every time we run out of everything, but we're not supposed to be. No flesh shall glory in his presence. So I stopped trusting me. I'm ran out. I don't know what to do. God does. I don't know where to go. God does. I don't know. God does. God does. Hang on. Now, so therefore, the benefit may go down to verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Remember what they said? All that the Father said will do. Deuteronomy 4:1. But you can't do it. Ah, but God can. It's God doing it. It's grace. And God does what? God saves us. God keeps us. God does it. So we're letting God be God. Therefore, verse 12 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater That means more. But greater than these shall, not but greater power, but more greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Wow. You're going to do more. How can I do more? I can't do it at all. No, but God can. And to put it together, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God honors the Son honors the Father, and that's the sequence. So we're looking for, hang on, over to John chapter 15. And you recall, so what am I going to know, God? I'm going to do mighty works. How so? Well, you can't. No, you can't. Neither can I. But, John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, like plant the tree, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's why you can do everything. Whatever I want, I'll do it. You got that? You aren't going to do it. The Spirit of God's going to do it. If I don't go away, the Spirit of God can't come. You'll never know what anything. The Spirit of God's going to make it happen. Hang on. So my resources to work out, how am I going to have faith enough to climb the mountain, to go through the pain, to go through the heartache, to go through the discouragement? Where am I going to get it? Depression and everything else. I'm going to get it from you, God. So therefore, God, we shared the other day, God is happy. He wants us to be in the place, not to be sad, not to be mad, to be happy. Why? Because you're great. Your Israel was going to be the great people of the earth to show God is great in all of their darkness and evil. God, what are you going to do in our little life? God in Christ, in us, the Spirit of God's going to do something wonderful. He's going to show his wonderful, wonderful life. And he's able to do whatever he wants to do. And we share that on Wednesday and all of those things. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Think of the Olympics. We just did that. In the Olympics. We can't be. The Olympics of demand, the demand of being an Olympian is way beyond our general capacity. For commitment, hour by hour, year by year, day by day, year by year, for one event, for one moment, to win a gold medal. Ah, but we can't do that. No. God has made you what? We just said, an overcomer. Revelation 2, 3, to every single assembly that is believers, he said to the overcomers, and every single nobody that comes to know the Lord as a Savior is to be an overcomer, a winner. A winner. A what? For God's wonderful plan for your life, not for anyone else's. Each one work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. It is God which worketh in you, both to will, to do of his God's going to do it for each of your life. And that's what God's doing, to overcome. To be a winner. That's right. We're all there if we would take it now. Having said that, chapter 14, without me you can do nothing. So now when I read, remember what we read in verse 12, verily I say unto you, etc., because I go to my Father. Now, so you put this together, it's easy. If your heart wants it, and it's awesomely unbelievable, impossible, but it's true. It's just true. And without, we won't have time to do it, but God, what do you say? God said, listen, you guys, this is the, I'm going to think of you, the 11 disciples up there. You guys have no idea what I'm telling you. But God, what you're telling them is what? I'm telling them the truth. I'm telling them it's real. They don't know it's real. And we read it in John 14, 17. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you and with you. But they didn't know that. We're in the presence of God. You can't beat it. But I don't feel it. God said, I know you don't. But it's real. It's just real. And God didn't ask you to feel it. God just said, did you honor my word? This is what I do. And you enjoy it. And what do you do? But we walk by sight, so I feel. You're going to have you're going to look 20. I look in the mirror, something happened, it didn't happen. You know, maybe I better pray again. And God says, you're going to look 20. And I look in the mirror, I just doesn't happen, doesn't happen. God did that, no, doesn't, it isn't going to happen. What God has done isn't in my flesh, it's in your flesh. God has made and given a wonderful relationship to himself in a most wonderful way. So that, chapter 14, verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified, how so? In the Son. And the Son is glorified by the Spirit of God. And if I don't die, you can't have the Spirit of God to make it all happen. As simple as that. And God in his wonderful person, in his triune, in his nature, essence, being, is glorified by all of it in a most wonderful way. So now, therefore, verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I told you could do whatever I'm going to do. I just want you to stay in touch, stay with me as I go, and you're going to look to God, and God's going to do a most wonderful thing in my. As my Father sent, well, back over. As my Father sent me, chapter 15, why not? Chapter 15, 26. And when the Comforter, Encourager, and God is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Mm-hmm. He's the Spirit of truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. I speak the truth. He is the truth. He's the reality. Hang on. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and he shall testify of me, the Son, and by the way, verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness. So God, our Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly represented God. But they didn't see it. But he did. And Christ died and rose again, as we'll see tonight. Wow. Now God, what are you doing? Well, here we are, the church, with the church believers. How do you show your resurrection? The only sign you're going to give him. The only sign. That's all. You're going to show the Son. How are you going to show the Son is risen? How can we see then? Empty tomb. Empty tomb. That's all. We can't find him. Can't see him. How can he be? Because when I receive the Lord as my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ in this day of grace, church age, is his body, and God is going to show himself in a most wonderful way. And he's going to show himself risen. How are you going to show yourself? You're a big walk up and down the street in a glorified body like you could Revelation 1. That would be awesome. But no, you're going to show in a most wonderful way. You're going to take whosoever's to believe, and they're going to receive you as their Savior. And you're going to be God in Christ. Spirit of God's going to do a wonderful thing to explain, to make it all real. So God's going to have a wonderful place, a resident. He finds a home. He finds a place. The car was made for gas. The heart was made for God. God, here we are. And God's going to do what? He's going to show his wonderful risen life in each of the whosoever's. And the world's going to look and see, just like in John 10. How can you be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, and say you're God. We didn't. God is my personal Savior. God is in my heart. And who believes it, right? But it's real. And he's showing it. He's showing an empty tomb. The only sign he's going to give them is you. And you go to work, you go to school, you go to the grocery store, whatever. Whatever you do. And you're walking, you're carrying God. And that's the only God, the only thing God's going to do. He's going to show he's risen from the grave by being in your heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. And that's what he's going to do. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's going to do what he does. And that's the only way he's going to show. And that's what he's going to do. God, you're going to go and hit everyone in the nose out there and punch the government and fix the educational system. No. We just did all that on war. We just did that a little bit. God said, remember Timothy in that, live at peace, Romans 18, live at peace with all men as much as you can. And then pray, 1 Timothy 2. Pray that the world will let you live a godly and peaceable life. Not pray to fix the system. The system's condemned. Pray that you'll be able to function and be a light. And like we are, to assemble together, to grow, to learn, to understand, to be a witness, his witnesses, in a most wonderful way. And God, and all of it's when it's done. And we have to quit the most important part. But God, what does it mean? So God, are we going to, the Spirit of God honors the Son. The Son honors the Father. The Spirit of God in us honors the Son in us. And the Son in us, the Son honors the Father. Now, God, what did you do? Closing. Appreciate your, I know you're over, and what can I tell you? Burnt hot dogs, I mean, that's the way it is. Chapter 8. At least take this part home. Chapter 8. And you'll notice, please, verse 15. And this is the Spirit of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, to be placed as sons, literally, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So what do? We say, Father. What did our Lord do for 3 1/3 years? He said, my Father doeth the works. My Father has the words. What are we doing? You made it possible for us, God, to straightway, because of the Son, all the benefits made possible by the Spirit of God, so that I can come to the Father. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm going to honor the Father because I'm a son. In the Son, we've said it 1,000 times, we're a son in the Son. And we honor what? The Father. And the world says, no, no problem. God said, what I have done and what I'm doing is for real. And you walk by faith and not by sight. And you believe me, and I'll encourage your heart and keep you happy. So you keep going. That's what I'm going to do. And you know, everything thick and thin, going to keep going. God help us. Our Father and God, we did it just a little bit, but help us understand, God, it's an awesome thing you've done. And God, we're never bankrupt because you're bank rich. Apart from you, we are truly bankrupt. But God, so we always have a backup. We always have everything. And we aren't counting on anything. We're counting on everything. You are the everything. So God, we're counting on you. And therefore, we have no shortages, nothing diminished, no defects, nothing wrong, no wrongs to try to make right, because you, what you do is right. We may do lots of dumb things, God, but that has nothing to do with your working and your grace. So God, we're looking to you to outwork your wonderful will and way in our life. And God, we haven't gone very far. It's an awesome thing, God. Spirit of God, thanks. Thank you very much. Oh, boy, I love you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.